The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We've been talking about defeating stress and anxiety. I started this message last week, and I talked extensively about stress and anxiety and how important it is for us as believers to be able to deal with it. The world is being bombarded with all kinds of stress. And I got to tell you, that doesn't, just because we know Christ is our personal Savior, doesn't exempt us from stress and anxiety, right? Anxiety can overcome. Anxiety is a huge problem in our society. People are having issues with anxiety. Anxiety and depression go hand in hand sometimes. People are overcome with it. Many are on medication for anxiety, which I believe in every situation, God is able to touch and heal people. No doubt about it. He's a healer. It's not just about healing our emotions, healing us spiritually. He heals us physically and emotionally. He fills us completely. The word in the Greek that refers to healing and refers to salvation actually means the healing of the whole person, not just physical or not just spiritual healing. Now, I know the church has down through the ages tried to water this down a little bit and try to make it sound like, well, we're just talking about a spiritual manifestation. But the reality is God wants to heal His people completely. He wants us to be whole. What kind of father would He be if He didn't want you whole? Oh, we'll just take care of your spiritual needs. Forget about the rest of you. I wouldn't do that to my children. I want all their needs to be met. Whenever it's within my power to meet the needs of my children, I will do it. Sometimes it's not the best thing for me, but it's best for them. Because I love them and I want to meet their needs. And God wants to do the same thing. He wants to deliver us from the stress and anxiety that we feel in our life. This morning, I got to tell you, Pastor Otis mentioned how in order to enter into worship, sometimes we just have to do it. Yeah. You know, we have to overcome our minds and our physical, but maybe we're too tired. Maybe mentally we're just exhausted. We're dealing with situations. I came in here this morning. I got to tell you, I didn't feel like worshiping God. I got things going on all around me and my, with the stress of this kitchen that we've got torn out. Now I found out that my line going to my hot water heater was leaking. I got a bathroom I got to fix. Things going on and just life in general, church. I didn't feel like worshiping God. But I want you to understand something. I have been in this game long enough. In this battle, long enough, it's better called a battle because it's not a game. It's warfare. I've been in this battle long enough to know that I'm not going to allow the enemy to defeat me with my emotions. I have to rise above that. And I got to tell you right now, I feel like worshiping God. I feel like glorifying His name. I feel like lifting Him up on high, for He is worthy to be praised. And He's touched me. And He does that. And when we get a breakthrough like that, there is nothing like being able to experience that kind of peace from God. I experienced His peace this morning. Not a physical peace. A supernatural peace. That has helped me to know that no matter what, my God is still on my side. My God is still walking with me. My God is still leading me. And directing me. Stress and anxiety is something that we will not allow to defeat us. In Jesus' name. But it's a huge obstacle that the enemy is trying to use. We got to be careful. Amen? I was reading a little story about a mother who had Her kids wanted a hamster, and they promised to take care of their pet. They named their pet Danny. And how many of you have ever had your children say, "I will feed and water and take care of my pet"? You know they're lying, right? We've all raised little liars. We love them, but you know they're not going to do it. But you fall for it every time. Amen. I've fallen for it numerous times. They named this hamster Danny. And sure enough, 3 weeks into this thing, mom's taking care of Danny. She's having to feed Danny. She's having to clean the cage. Finally, she comes to the kids. She gathered them all around, and she said, "Listen, kids, we've got to get rid of Danny. He's too much of a problem for me. All he does is just lay around and sleep in that cage. I have to clean." He just lays around and sleep. And she didn't mention cage. She said, "He just lays around and sleep. I have to feed him all the time. He makes a mess everywhere. We're going to get rid of him." And the kids all started crying, "No, no, we don't want to get rid of him. No, please, Mom, don't do that. Maybe he won't eat so much. Maybe he'll stop making so much mess." She said, "No, absolutely, we're getting rid of Danny." The kids all wailed and laughed and said, "Oh, we thought you were saying Daddy." I'd say that's a household with a little bit of stress, wouldn't you? When the kids don't know whether mom's going to get rid of Daddy or not, there's some problems. And it's in all our lives. We have these things that we have to deal with. Some of the things I've talked about already is the origin of stress and anxiety. Stress and anxiety are bait. Stress and anxiety, this is the thing we're going to pick up. Stress and anxiety can be defeated. Where does stress and anxiety come from? We made it perfectly clear. It is a satanic attack. I believe without a doubt that it is Satan's way of destroying human beings, because he knows that if he can cause you to have stress and anxiety, your mind is not on serving the living God. It's a distraction. That's what it's all about. Number two, stress and anxiety are bait designed by the enemy to catch you in the real trap, which is fear. You see, if he can put enough stress and anxiety on us, he will cause us to enter into fear. And as I showed you from Scripture, Jesus said, he taught us basically this principle, that where there's fear, there's little faith. It doesn't take your faith completely away, otherwise you wouldn't have faith to believe God and believe Jesus. But when you allow fear to overcome you, when the enemy uses stress and anxiety to create fear in your life, it causes you to have little faith. You remember the story about Jesus and the disciples in the boat? The storm came up and they didn't know what to do. They woke Jesus up. They thought they were going to die. They were afraid. That, you know, if you're in the middle of a storm, that's going to create some stress, some anxiety. Jesus got up, he rebuked the storm, and then he turned to his disciples and said, "You of little faith." Didn't say they didn't have any faith. Their faith was small. How many know that we have times of great faith and times of little faith? Amen. Comes and goes in us. And the reason is because sometimes we're not where we should be with the Word. We're not where we should be with our relationship with the Lord. That's just life. Life takes us in that direction. But I can tell you this, when you start experiencing anxiety and stress, you better get back. Run back to the Lord. Get back to His Word, because His Word will help you overcome. Get back to worshiping the living God. Praise Him. I don't care how you worship. I don't care what kind of music causes you to worship God. It can be country gospel. It can be contemporary. It can be whatever's out there. There's all kinds of different ways to worship God. That's not important. What is important is that you allow yourself to be immersed in the presence of the living God, because that will keep you on the right track. Amen? All right. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 again. Now, we've been reading this. This is basically where I'm taking this message from. So I'm going to go back to verse 25, and we're going to read from there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? This is extremely important that we as believers in Jesus Christ recognize we are of utmost value to our God. He takes care of even the animals. But he said, listen, you're much more valuable to him. I'm much more valuable. I don't know about you, but I want you all to know something. I am God's favorite. Do you feel that way? You should. You're the apple of his eye. And I don't care whether he thinks you're his favorite. Well, I do. I really do care about that. But what's most important in my life when I'm going through difficulties is that I know that I am God's favorite. And when you're going through difficulties, it's important that you know that you are God's favorite. It's not like God has abandoned you and left you out. He has promised you that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. You are not an evil stepchild. I want you to understand that. You know, you've seen the stepchildren that are abused and rebuked on all sides, used as a whipping post. Most of the time, you know, accused of everything. That's not the way God treats you. You are his favorite son. You remember the story of Joseph? Why did his brothers hate him so much? Because he was his father's favorite. Now, I'm not trying to justify it. I'm just telling you. He was his father's favorite. You are your father's favorite. And that's what you have to look at yourself. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to do some things that are not necessarily pleasing to your father. My children do that all the time. Thank God. They're getting a lot better. They're growing up. Thank God my son is growing up. Hallelujah. I love him. And God has done so much in his life. You guys have all prayed for us and saw us through some really difficult times. God is moving in a mighty way in his life right now. Even more than you realize, son, God is touching you and directing you. And you too, Trish. Know that it's the power of God that's making the changes in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. He's my favorite son. My only son. I want to drive home this point to you this morning that you are God's favorite. It's the only way you can look at yourself when you go through these difficult things. Excuse me for my emotion this morning. Amen. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not make he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Now here Jesus is he's talking about material things. He's talking about life, clothing, food, shelter, all these things that we have to have. He said, listen, I'm going to take care of you. I promise. Promise that I will. Stop running around desiring to and chasing after these things. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. The rest of this teaching. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now I want you to understand something. Jesus is not telling you to seek church. You hear me? Church is the body of Christ, not this building. It's people. Thank God for a nice building, a wonderful place we have to worship God. But without it, we still have church. If we have to meet in a field, we're church. The church of Jesus Christ is worldwide, and we're a part of that body. It's a powerful body. And once it wakes up and realizes how powerful it is, there'll be some incredible things happening all over the world. Because the body of Christ. But I want you to know that it's not about this thing, this organization that we have here at Bethel Worship Center. And we do our best to be as organized as we can and at the same time allow the Spirit of God to move. There's a fine balance there. How many know that? How difficult? You know, it's not an easy balance to maintain that. Sometimes I'm always trying to discern, God, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What are you doing in this service today? This is important. I want it to be of God. And at the same time, we need announcements. We need all these things that we do on a regular basis, the order of our service. You know, sometimes people are pretty critical of churches that have an order and they follow that order. But, you know, on their behalf, I must say that you have to have order. There has to be some order throughout a service. So, once again, I'm just saying there's a fine balance there to let God have his way when he wants to have his way. And guess what? Your pastor is human. I know that's hard to believe. My wife says, I know. She agrees. I am a human being, and I don't always and completely discern everything that I need to in the service. I get distracted sometimes. So I just want to say, please bear with me. I'm trying. I want you to know that I'm trying to hear God. My desire, I believe our worship team is, our elders, our deacons, the leaders in this church, people involved with every area of ministry are trying their best. We have good people here who want to serve God. They have a heart's desire to please the living God. But they're human, and they're going to do some things that may not be exactly the way you think they should be done. Well, all I could say to you is, it's time for you to rise up and get in a leadership position so you can make some decisions. Amen? I'm not trying to be critical of anybody, but if you have some objections, that's a way to fix it. Have some input. Be a part of it. Hallelujah. All right, I don't even know where I am in this message. Stress and anxiety can be defeated. The most important thing is seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do that. Forget about the other things. Now, I'm not telling you that you can just get up every morning and read your Bible all day long and pray and never have to work, never have to apply yourself to accomplishing anything. That's not what I'm trying to say. But there is an important aspect here that we need to understand, and that is always seeking after God. always seeking to do what he wants. Yes, reading his word is an important part of that. Unless you read his word, you're not going to know what God wants from you. You're going to hear some things, yeah, but you get the most direction from his word. And you're going to have rhema moments when you read his word that it jumps out at you and you say, oh, that's what you meant, God. That's what you're saying to me. This is important stuff. When we get to the word of God, it's very important that we recognize that God's got to be number one in our life. He's got to be first. James 4:4 tells us friendship with the world is enmity with God. And enmity merely means hostility toward God. None of us want to be hostile. You wouldn't be here this morning if you wanted to be hostile toward God. Whether you're a believer or not, you came in this place because you want to hear something from God. Amen? So you don't want to be hostile with him. That's not your idea. That's not your plan. But whether we plan it or not, if this whole world is what we're seeking after, the things of this world, we become hostile toward God. Because the world will lie to you. The world will cheat you. The world will steal from you. The world will lead you in the wrong direction. What we need to seek is approval from Almighty God. Turn with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Begin with verse 12. I think we already read this last week, but for we do not wrestle with against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Just that scripture right there. If you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, it should terrify you. It's not talking about fun and games. It's not talking about a video game where they portray demons and stuff, although I think that leads to a lot of deception. This is talking about a real spiritual world that is all around us. And left to your own devices, those spirits will destroy you. They'll kill you. They'll defeat you. They'll wipe you out completely. Now, in some cases, not only do they do that, but they at the same time, they build people up and encourage them to continue in evil. And yes, I totally believe this world, that Satan is the god of this world. And he offered Jesus the kingdoms of this world when he was tempting him in the wilderness. And do I believe he has the ability to offer kingdoms to people in this world? Yes, absolutely. And some are so deceived that they have received kingdoms to serve Satan. This is a real battle that's going on all around us. There are people that call themselves Luciferians, bearers of light, and they believe that Satan is their god. And they're doing everything they can to bring his light to this world. It's a total deception. Now, sometimes here in Meigs County, we're a little isolated from some of the things that are going on all over the world. But I can guarantee you there are things in motion right now to create a world government and a power that will defeat and put down all other powers in this world. Here's the good news. Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We're on the right side. Don't falter. Hang fast. Serve the living God. Stand firm no matter what comes your way. Believe and trust, because I can tell you the rewards for serving Jesus Christ and being a part of his kingdom is greater than any rewards this world has to offer. It's power in the name of Jesus. And yes, he's going to take care of his own. He's going to lead and direct his own. He's going to keep us and help us. And I believe that what he said in John 10:10, that he's going to come. He has come, not going to come. He's already come to give us life and life more abundantly. Abundant life here. That goes along with this, these other scriptures that we were reading. Seek him first and he'll take care of you. Find him. He'll be there for you. All right. Therefore, take up the whole armor. Verse 13, Ephesians 6. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then it goes on to say, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Seeking God. Now, the thing I wanted us to get from this scripture is the reality that we are in a battle. We're in a real war. And this war is raging all around us. But we are on the winning side. We have authority and power. If you know Christ is your personal Savior, you have the same power and authority that the apostles walked in the day, the days of old in the New Testament. When Jesus died on the cross, ascended to heaven, he said, all authority has been given to me. He said, go. He was delegating his authority to his church, not just to those apostles and what we call disciples and apostles. He was delegating his authority to the whole body of Christ. And anybody who can claim it and receive it will walk in it and can walk in it. Authority to overcome the enemy in your life. That's why we can stop stress and anxiety. That's why we can overcome it. And I'm going to show you some ways here this morning before I get too wound up that you can do that. All right. Number one. Well, first let me review this a little bit. Where does stress and anxiety come from? Satanic attack. Stress and anxiety are bait designed by the enemy to catch you in the real trap, which is fear. Stress and anxiety can be defeated, and that's where we are right now. We're going to, number one, we're going to identify this as an attack, stress and anxiety as an attack from the enemy. John 10:10, I've already made reference to this scripture. Let's go back to it. Let's go back to verse 7 and read that. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pleasure. Now I want to stop right there. I want you to recognize what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not saying, I am one of the ways. If you come to me, you can enter in, but there's somebody else that you might enter in with. Because that's exactly what religion is trying to tell us today all over the world. Some of the ecumenical movement is not only pulling churches or Christian churches together, but they're also pulling Muslims and other religious organizations into a belief system that says we all worship the same God. That's a lie. Jesus made it perfectly clear. I am the door. One way. I am the life. One way. No man comes to the Father except by me. There isn't any other way. Do not believe what they're trying to tell the Church of Jesus Christ today. This is a huge lie to bring about a one-world religion so that everybody can be happy and live and love together. And it's not going to happen. They may bring about a one world religion, but it's not going to be a happy place. I can tell you that. I believe the philosophy for the one world religion is this. It's the Barney theme. I love you, you love me, we're all going to heaven. Whoop-dee-dee. That's not true. I love you, you're going to love me. And we love everybody, but there's only one way. Jesus. Amen. Identify it as an attack. That's the first thing. Let's go on with this scripture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they have life, and they may have it more abundantly. Of course, we know abundant life is superfluous. It means more than enough. It means everything that you need. Abundant life. Jesus made it perfectly clear. He came for that purpose, so that we could have a complete sozo, whole healing, and then move into an abundant life in Him. So we abound. But what you need to understand is the thing that the thief does is to come not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. So anytime that we feel the stress and anxiety of life, we understand that the enemy is attacking. Identify his attack. That's an attack from the enemy. Listen, one thing the enemy cannot stand is when you call him out. Right. He hates it when you recognize that he is attacking you and you identify that as an attack. What he wants you to see, what he wants you to believe is that it's your husband, it's your wife, it's your children, it's the people in the church, it's the president, it's Congress. Come on now. He wants you to believe it's something else. This is supernatural. This is an attack. And the enemy is trying to beat you up and beat you down. He wants to create great anxiety and stress in your life so that he can put fear on you. And if he gets you in the mode of fear, he's got you right where he wants you. You can still get out of it. I'm not telling you that it's hopeless if you're in fear. You can get out of it, but it's much more difficult if you get that far along. You can identify it. And the second thing you can do, you need to do to win this battle, is submit to God and resist the enemy. James 4. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. Once again, we're going back. Don't seek the things of the world. If you're seeking the things of the world, this is the outcome. You have wars and difficulties and battles. Seek God. You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Asking God. Listen, that's the first thing we should do, and most of the time it's the last thing we do. Amen? We're putting a cabinet up in the kitchen. Now, I hate to admit this, but Friday night, it took us 3 hours to put a little cabinet, a 30-inch cabinet, up in our kitchen. We were just having difficulty. There was a vent going up through it's for the hood, the range hood, and couldn't get it up in. And the crazy thing about these mobile homes is that in the interior walls, instead of there being full studs, they're half-inch boards that are 4 inches wide, and I couldn't find that half inch board to screw into. So I've got about a section like that with about 8 or 10 holes drilled where I was trying to find that stud. Oh, man. It got crazy and frustrating. And finally, my dear wife said, "Why don't we pray? Why don't we ask God for help?" And I'm so darn stubborn that I'm going to do this thing. But we did. You know, she said a little, "God help us." You know, nothing. We didn't go in depth. We didn't stop our work. She just said, "God help us." And sure enough, got the vent in and we got the cabinet up. Amen. God wants to help us, but sometimes we just wait too long. Maybe tonight, if we work, we'll pray before we start. Amen. Amen. God is so good. But He wants us to come to Him. Ask, and we'll receive. Amen. All right. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We've already dealt with that. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, "The Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but He gives more grace"? Therefore, He says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Well, that's a good message for us. God's going to resist our proud spirit. Yes, sir. But He gives grace to the humble. Mm-hmm. If we'll humble ourselves, and that doesn't mean that you're not confident. We get things all messed up. Doesn't mean that you're not confident in who you are and what you do. Having confidence in your ability, your God-given ability, is important. Especially when you're in a position of a leadership someplace. You've got to have confidence in your decisions. That God has given you the wisdom to do it. That's not necessarily pride. Pride comes when we begin to think that we are the answer. And we have all the answers. Pride is setting yourself up as king. And when you begin to see pride in a person, then you're going to see somebody who is destined for a fall, according to the Word of God. So we submit ourselves, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, do this. Submit to God. Submit to God. Now, I've heard this scripture quoted many times, and usually they say, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." Sometimes I've used it that way myself. But we need to go back and look at it, because it says, first, submit to God.
That's right.
Submit yourself to God. Seek Him first. Then you will have the power and the ability to resist the enemy. When you think you can resist the enemy on your own, that's when you're going to get in trouble. But submit yourself to your Heavenly Father. Amen. Submit to God. So that's the principle that I want you to see here. First, identify it's an attack, then submit to God. And once you submit to God, you can and will be able to resist the enemy. Number three, capture your thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10. Second Corinthians 10, 1 through 6. Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with the confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, here is very important that we understand, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What kind of strongholds get built up in our life? All kinds of things that the enemy has created, difficulties, obstacles that have happened in our lifetime. Sometimes abuse, being mistreated, rejection. All these things become strongholds in the lives of people. And those strongholds, if you've been abused spiritually, I want to tell you something. Strongholds are built up in your life, and if you're not careful, those strongholds will move you in a direction that hurts other people and causes you to misidentify the spirit realm and what's going on. Strongholds that you've gone through in the past, those are problems that you've gone through in the past that create strongholds in your mind and in your life. Wow. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought into the obedience. Every thought into obedience of Christ. Here it's so important that we understand that we have the ability, because of the weapons that we have, to capture our thoughts. I don't care how much of a stronghold that thought has in your life. You can capture it by recognizing that that's not a God thought. The thing that you went through during that time in your life where you keep going back to it, it keeps coming up in your mind. That's a stronghold that the enemy is trying to use against you. Capture that thing and say, absolutely not. I'm not going to allow that to defeat me. I'm not going to allow that to put me down. I'm not going to allow that to put me in bondage. In Jesus' name, I capture that thought. Those thoughts have to be captured. Listen, I'm not telling you anything this morning that I don't live. I apply these things. Am I human? Do I do it without fault sometimes? No, I can't tell you that every day, every morning I get up and I don't still battle those things. But I understand this principle. I have to capture my thoughts. If I didn't capture my thoughts, I would have left this church a long time ago. There's a lot of pain in being a pastor. You need to understand where I am. And I know there's a lot of pain in your life as well. We can together overcome. We can together defeat this enemy. But we've got to learn to capture those thoughts, because you see, what happens is the enemy's going to bring up offenses. He's going to cause you to be offended by something someone said or the way somebody looked. Do you see the way Pastor looked at me? Did you see that? Did you see that in his eyes? Well, who knows what was going on in my mind at the time? I don't. I'm going to say things. I'm not trying to be offensive, but I'm going to say things sometimes that the Word of God will offend you. You got to learn to capture those thoughts. And if I say something that it has nothing to do with the Word of God and it's offensive to you, tell me. Let me know. Because I don't want to offend you. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I want to build you up. I want you to grow up in the Lord. But that's part of it, is recognizing, you know, sometimes it's not worth it to allow such a minor thing to offend you. Could be something real minor sometimes. But it has to do with these strongholds that the enemy has built up in your life. It doesn't take much sometimes. You know, I've talked about this often, about in regards to marriage, how important it is to make deposits into one another's lives. It's the same thing in our relationships. We've got to make deposits in our relationships in the church, not just in our marriages, but in our church relationships. If I don't make deposits into your life, yes, I am eventually going to say something that's going to offend you. But if I've made enough deposits, you'll brush it off. Say, he didn't mean anything by that. Because we have relationship. That's the problem with the Church of Jesus Christ today. We're not having relationship with each other. We're not having community. I'm telling you, the early church met every day. Now, I know that's not possible for us. Life is different now. But they met every day. They broke bread together. They had communion. They did spiritual things and not so spiritual things as we. Everything's spiritual as far as I'm concerned. But things that we would consider not so spiritual. They lived life together. That's what we have to do. We have to live life together. Amen. I'm reminded of an old missionary that spent 40 years serving in Africa. It's a real story. And he buried his wife and his children there. And he was retiring and came home. And as he was flying in, as they landed and they were taxiing around, he noticed there was people out there with signs and a big crowd was gathered. And he thought to himself, could it be that they recognize the service that I have performed for the body of Christ all these years? And when he got off the plane, he found out that there was a diplomat on the plane and some kind of dignitary, and people were welcoming him. And the guy, he thought to himself, and this was written down, and he said to himself, you know, God, why? You know, look, I've served you all these years, and I get nothing as a homecoming. And he said the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, son, you're not home yet. Ooh. Isn't that good stuff? Amen. We're not home yet. If we're looking for all our rewards here, we're going to miss it. We're not home. But when we get there, I can guarantee this. If you hold fast, if you stand to the end, the Word of God says, Jesus will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. There'll be a parade. I believe there's going to be a parade. Amen. There's going to be a party. I know that. We're all going to be excited. I mean, you know, this thing with the girls winning the state championship, that was an incredible feat. It's crazy how excited everybody got. Right, Joy? Yes. But it was good. It was good excitement. I mean, this is an incredible accomplishment. We may not see this again in all our lifetimes. You know, it's just a crazy, great accomplishment. These girls all came together. Great coach, Joy's son, John, is the coach. He did a great job with them. Her granddaughter, Jenna, is a standout player on the team. It's wonderful and it's exciting. We can celebrate with them. That parade and all the things that's going to happen. But I want you to understand something. That's nothing compared to what's going to happen when we enter heaven. The joy you're going to feel. The presence of Almighty God. Wow. It's going to be incredible. Joy. Joy above anything that we can experience here on this earth. So, capture your thoughts, change your thinking. Joel Osteen says, the next thing, I guess, I almost got ahead of myself. One of the things that Joel Osteen says in his book, Your Best Life, he stated, until you learn how to enlarge your vision, seeing the future through your eyes of faith, your own wrong thinking will prevent good things from happening in your life. Now, whether you are or you aren't a fan of Joel Osteen, One of the things I know that what he is saying here is true. That we have to align our life with the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us that proper thinking is very important. We've got to think properly. And so to meditate, to take into account, meditate means to take into account, it means to keep your mind focused. Now what we're saying here, we're not talking about an overnight cure. We're talking about the reality of the fact that we can learn, we can capture our thoughts, we can change our thinking, we can recognize what all is happening in our lives, and we begin to think good thoughts. Philippians 4:4-8, turn there please. I'm about to wrap this up. I really mean that. I am about to wrap this up. I get comments sometimes that says, Pastor, you say you're going to wrap it up about four times before you do. Philippians 4:4-8. I better go to Philippians. I went to Ephesians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, here it's so important, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God is what we're seeking after rather than stress and anxiety. That's what we want. And that's what we're looking for is God's peace. And he says, I'm going to give that to you. But here's what you got to do. You got to meditate on the right things. And I already mentioned to you, it means to focus your mind on the right thing. It means to keep your mind on good things rather than evil or nasty things or whatever it is. Keep your mind. Think about. That's how you capture your thoughts first, and then you replace those thoughts with godly thoughts. Amen. Amen. And only you can do that. Nobody can do it for you. You have to capture those thoughts. Stop it. In Jesus' name, I'm not going to allow that to overcome me. And here's what I'm going to think about. God, I'm going to think about your love, your peace, your forgiveness, your mercy. You're with me. I'm going to replace it with good things. The heart in Scripture is the most comprehensive term for a believer. It's something that we really need to understand. When the Scripture talks about heart, it's talking about your innermost being. It's talking about who you really are. And the heart can be deceptive. The Word of God is very clear. But when you receive Christ as your personal Savior, the Word says that you become a new creature, and he takes out the stony heart and puts in a new fleshly heart. You're a changed person.
Yes, sir.
Now, the thing is, you can change your thinking and it will change your heart. But here's the conundrum that we have with this. Your heart must be changed in order to change your thinking. Because if it's still in your heart, your thinking, you know, you'll try and try and try, but you won't be able to change it. That's why you need a touch of the Holy Spirit. Every atheist that I've ever read about, Lee Strobel, C.S. Lewis, Josh McDowell, they all have said basically the same thing. Before they were converted to Christ, they had a certain way of thinking about things. Then after they received Christ, their thinking changed. They had a heart change. You must have a heart change. Regardless of what it is that you're going through, what it is that the enemy is trying to defeat you in, you've got to allow God to change your heart. Because the heart is where it all starts. You can battle and battle and battle with your mind. But the mind will always line up with the heart, the most inner being. That's where the wounds really are. And we talk about our mind and we understand how that all works. But from a spiritual perspective, the wounds are in the heart. God wants to heal your wounds. When you have the mind of Christ, we can have our wounds healed. We can, without a doubt, accomplish great and mighty things for the Lord. Today, please stand with me. Today, I'm going to ask you all, just bow your head. I believe God wants to heal some wounds. I want to tell you something. It's not something that has to be a great show. Quietly, sitting right there or standing right there, God can heal your wounds. All you have to do is be honest with Him. Say, God, I recognize this wound. Change my heart. I just want you all to pray this prayer with me. Pray after me. Father, this wound in my heart, I ask for your touch and your forgiveness. Heal this wound. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you may think that didn't mean a whole lot. Or maybe you did. Maybe you felt it. But I want to tell you, that's important. And it's powerful. God really did something for you this morning. I could have had you all come up here and we could have prayed and we could have gone through all that. Which sometimes that's necessary. But I just wanted you to see this morning, the power of God is not limited by what man thinks has to be done. The power of God is available any place, any time that you're honest with your God. Amen. Let's pray. I'm going to ask our prayer warriors to come up. If you have any healing, need healing after service, please come forward and we'll pray for you for healing. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that you're such an awesome God. You're touching your people this morning. Lord, we hear your voice and it's just incredible how supernaturally you move among your people, touching and ministering life to people. Healing wounds, allowing us to be able to capture our thoughts and control our thoughts and think good thoughts. But Father, it has to be, we have to have those healing times with you. And I thank you this morning that as simple as it was, your power has been released in this congregation. And there's been incredible healing take place in people's lives. Father, we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Have a wonderful day. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.